seated. If you would, let's go to Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to pick up from last week. As we're talking about a name this last week was Shavuot equals Gorilla Glue. And so this time is what I'm doing is our minds made up. We were going through these feasts and festivals, and we've been counting the Omer, and there again, I think the Father has really been doing a work on our lives since Sukkot of last year with the theme of love, and then how it went to servitude, it goes to stewardship, but now being a light. And just like what he was singing in that song, that's the first time I've heard that song, and the beautiful thing is this, the world is starving for a good light. You know, I mean, this is a dark place. I mean, you can't even watch anything on television. You can't watch a ball game without the commercials defrauding everything. You can't even watch Hallmark without it defrauding. So out of this situation that we're in, this is where we're at. We're living in a dispersed situation, whether you call it Babylon, which we're going to call today, or whether you're going to call it Egypt. It doesn't matter. But the Father is for those of us who are saved, He's still calling us out from amongst the world. There's still a calling out. We have to choose to do that. A lot of times I'm afraid what has happened is in the religion of today, it's just really a religion of comfort. It's been one to where people can get saved, but you don't have to change. Now it's okay to do what you're doing. Now you can feel comfortable and not be condemned. No, we have to move away from the ways of the world, and we have to move more towards this book and the way His laws and commandments. This is what Shavuot is all about. It's about the commandments being given during this time and season. It's about the Holy Spirit being given during this time and season. And so with that said, in Daniel, I want to paint this picture. This is about these three Hebrew children that we're fixing to talk about now. Before I get into this and we start reading, I want you to think about something. At this very moment, what these three young men are fixing to go through, they just left Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, went into Israel, destroyed it, destroyed the temple, destroyed everything, and has taken the majority of all the good people out of Israel and brought them into Babylon. They didn't take everybody out of Israel. Why do you want to take the people that's already on welfare out? You're just going to put them on welfare. They leave these people that don't produce anything. They left them there. And they put some people over them. But they brought the good people out. Daniel came out. And these three Hebrew children. Now, in a mindset. Now, I want to paint this picture. Because this is going to happen again. This is going to happen again. Read Ezekiel. Read Revelation. This is going to happen again. Jeremiah. You're going to have to know this is going to happen again. If your mind is not made up when this happens, you will make the wrong decision. You will eat the king's meat and you will dance to the king's music. That's what will happen if your mind's not made up. We have hope because if we read these scriptures, but I'm going to show you that in this, you already know the story here, but I want to put ourselves in these guys' places because you know whenever you would sit here and in the charismatic days, we would be confessing all the way to Babylon. I'm not in captivity. I'm not in captivity. I'm not in captivity. Yes, you are. So the thing about it is you still have to trust and to know. You have to know if you're going to go through something, you have to know that the prophet Jeremiah was probably the only one at that time, maybe a couple of more, but is speaking the truth. Because all these other prophets were saying, don't listen to him, it's all prosperity, it's all prosperity. And then all of a sudden, what happens? The king, his boys, they all lose their lives, and they go into captivity. And here goes the rest of these good ones with people that really served the Father, went into captivity also. Having their mind made up, because they could have thought about, hey, you know what? Yahweh is not fighting for us anymore. Yahweh's not fighting for us anymore. This is what can happen. This is what's happening and it's going to happen. You have to know no matter where we go, Yahweh fights for us. You can never give up hope. This is a story today. Shavuot is a story of hope. It's what it is because He gives us His laws and commandments and He gives us His Holy Spirit. It is a story of hope. And if you don't have this in you, if this is not imprinted in you, you have no hope, guys. And if you don't have that baptism, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning in your life, you don't have the teacher. You don't have hope to be able to explain what's going on in our lives. So think about this. These young men, they could have thought, you know what? Yahweh's done with us. We were rebellious. We deserve this. And they could have eat the king's meat, and they could have danced to the music. So verse 4 is where we're going to pick up in Daniel 3. And a herald proclaimed aloud, and we already know that Nebuchadnezzar set up this image, and he said, anytime that you hear the sound of these horns and pipes and lyres and bagpipes and all kind of music, you were to fall down. This is verse 5. You're to fall down and you're to worship the golden image that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. All right, verse 6. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Let's jump down to verse 8. Therefore, at that time, a certain Chaldean came forward, maliciously accused these Jews. All right, these three boys, because what happened? The sound happened. They didn't fall down. The tattletales went up, and they told the king. Now, we're going to pick up in 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought, that they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true? Now, I want to liken this to the end times, because this is where we're going to end up in Revelation. Because in Revelation, you're going to have an anti-messiah, you're going to have a beast, and you're going to have a false prophet. So we're going to have to answer these questions again. So Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king, he's furious. These boys were brought for him. Nebuchadnezzar, like I said, he says, is this true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now listen to this next verse. Guys, this is the way it is. This verse is so important. Whenever the Father gives you a command, the command that these boys were given in the land of Israel was that they were not to do what? Bow down and to serve other gods. But Satan always gives you a second chance. When you stand up for what is right, when you stand up for what is right and you make that initial stand, and now all of a sudden the heat comes down on you, Satan will give you a second chance to change your mind. And this is why this scripture's here. If you've made up your mind before, you better keep it made up. See, it's one thing to make up your mind when you're in this building. It's different when you make up your mind when you're standing before the king who is furious, who is threatening your life, your very life and the life of maybe your family. So he says, the king is saying this, now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipes, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. You know, no error, no foul. In other words, if you're able to do this, I know I'll forget the charges that are against you that brought you here. If you're willing to do this now, all is forgotten. Love, war, and peace. Everything is good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar made this statement. And who is the Elohim? Who is this God? Who is this Elohim who will deliver you out of my hands? See, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't respect the Elohim of Israel, because the Elohim of Israel didn't fight for them when he went in and took them captive. So now Nebuchadnezzar has no respect for the God of the children of Israel. But he doesn't realize, he made a statement earlier. He made a statement whenever they were barricaded in. And he says, you know what? When they were saying, well, our God will. And he says, no, it was your God that sent me here. It was your Elohim. Don't you listen to your own prophet, Jeremiah? Even Nebuchadnezzar knew what the prophets were saying. But yet, Nebuchadnezzar forgot. He said, who is this Elohim who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. What they said was, is our mind is made up. Know that our mind is made up. We don't even need to answer you. It's not even a question in our minds, will we bow before you or your gods? Because we will not. If this be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, this is where your mind's got to be made up. But if not, be it known to you, O king. I mean, that's like putting it right between his eyes. Right up underneath that crown he was wearing. But even if, that's right, even if. He says, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or your Elohims or worship the golden image that you have set up before us. Verse 19. See, this is, remember endurance? We read that scripture. I mean, we read the definition, endurance. Endurance is the ability to withstand hardship and adversity. Endurance is the ability to sustain a prolonged stressful or effort or an activity. Guys, this is what he's talking about. We have to have endurance in our life. Mark Morgan to tell you, for all of you guys that wrestle, the thing about it is why endurance is important. Me, if I start wrestling with somebody, I'm probably good for 20 seconds. I'll give you a fight for 20 seconds. But Mark will tell you, all I need to do is last for 20 seconds. Some of you younger ones, you may be good for 45 seconds. All you got to be is just to last 46 seconds. And then you can wear somebody down. I learned this, you know, when I said this last time, endurance is something that we have to train many reps, less weight. We got to last longer. How much longer? Somebody said when there was two guys and they were in the woods and a bear showed up. And the thing about it is, as long as you can outrun the other guy, you're safe. You know what I'm saying? Because the bear's going to eat the first one he catches. That's just the way it works. But the thing about it, you see what I'm saying? Endurance. Endurance is very, very important. And the very thing is the endurance of our faith is key. That we don't wear out. That we know that we don't take that second word whenever we're offered the easy way out. Because Satan will offer you always the easy way out. But when these boys didn't do this, in verse 19 it says this, the Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. The expression of his faith was changed against, he was ticked off, guys. I'm talking mad. He was seeing fire engine red against these boys. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 21, it says, then the men were bound with their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, their garments. I want you to notice something here. There's a reason why the scriptures put this in here. He said these men were bound with their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments. In other words, they were fully clothed. That's important because this is important for end time. This is an end time saying here. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace because the king's orders was urgent and the furnace overheated. The flame of the fire killed those who took these three boys up and threw them into the fire. Now we're talking about now this fire, the king's heart and his attitude was roaring to represent what was going on with this fire, enough that the very soldiers that had to put these boys in there got consumed by the fire lashing out of this oven. So would y'all say the fire is sort of hot? We're talking hot. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Guys, Yahweh did not deliver them from the furnace. He delivered them in there. That's what faith is. Faith is I will not bow. He will deliver me. And even if he will deliver me from you and I will be with him in the resurrection. Either way, I win, O king, and you lose. We as people don't want to go through hardship. We as people don't want to be, but we don't want to go through the fire. We would rather be delivered from the fire. But sometimes the fire is not only to deliver me and you. It has a purpose. It has a purpose bigger than me and you. And that's what this story is about. This is not just about these three boys. It's about what this happened changes. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? Who is this Elohim? Who is this God? In other words, there is no God. I am the man. Like Pharaoh that happened with Joseph during the day. I'm the man. And Pharaoh that happened with Moses. I'm the man. I'm a God. There is no other. I am the most powerful man on the face of this earth. You got to realize this is Nebuchadnezzar's mindset. So these boys, they get thrown in there. Verse 24, it says, now, when they went in there, then you see the word then. It's like what Kelly said earlier. Whenever the priest put their foot into the Jordan, it rolled back. It's then. Then happens when there's motion and movement. That's what faith is. Faith is movement and motion. It is energy and motion. That's what faith is. Faith is not sitting back unless praying and letting the Father just bust everything wide open. That's the easy way. That's the way we want it. That's the way I would rather have it. I don't want persecution. I don't want to deal with all of that mess. But sometimes the Father is doing something, like I said, not just with us. He's doing something bigger than us. We have to know that and realize that. So then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three bound into the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Then he answered and says, "But I see four men unbound." They were bound, but now he says, "I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the Elohims." What the Father is telling us is that we need to walk unbound in the midst of our situations. He's with us, and do you know what? The Holy Spirit, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, however you want to say that fourth man, is there with us. Do you know that when these boys, Nebuchadnezzar didn't see the fourth man in there, and these boys didn't see the fourth man in there, but when they had to go through that situation, the fourth man will show up. Yahweh will always show up in our situation. And if we go in bound, he will set us free. And he will set you free in every situation that you walk into, no matter about your job. But you got to step forward. You can't dance. But if you, in our lives, is if we turn around and if we dance to the king's music, you will be bound and you will stay bound and you will not have a prosperous life. You cannot eat the king's meat and you cannot dance to the king's music. If you do, you bind yourself. Satan will turn around, and do you know how it happens? And this is why the testimony with Scott is so good, because he'll tell you what happens is it's one string at a time that Satan ends up wrapping us up with. Then it's another string, and it's another string. And then the next thing you know, you've been in it so long, it becomes a rope. It becomes a hole. You know what? And then we can't move. And we feel we... But then repentance takes what? It takes it. He can burn that off of us. This is what happened. He can burn that off. But we need to be walking in the midst of any situation. And if we have love, joy, and peace in our heart, we won't be hurt. What was that book you had? Love like you've never been hurt. Can we love like we've never been hurt? If you can love like you've never been hurt, you know what? That'll set you free. That'll take hurts out of your situation and out of your life. Yes, there'll be a scar. But you know what the scar is for you to be able to shed light on the next one who's hurting. To be able to share with them healing. Really, a scar shows healing is what it shows. It doesn't show something negative. It shows something positive if you live through it. Amen? Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, in verse 15, he said, Who is that Elohim? Who is this Elohim that can deliver you from my hands? But what does he say here? You three boys, servants of who? The Most High Elohim. He didn't say servants of an Elohim. He said servants of the Most High Elohim. He recognized that these boys, Elohim, was the creator of the universe. Nebuchadnezzar got a revelation by what these three boys went through. And if these three young men would have danced, Nebuchadnezzar would have never gotten the revelation that he needed to get, that, hey, big boy, you're not in control. You would know the only reason why Israel's there is because of their sin. And I called you as my servant to place them there. But, hey, big boy, you better mind your P's and Q's. And know that I am in control. I've always been in control, and I'm still in control. This changed. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get saved this day. He didn't bow his knee, because you're going to see him mess up later. But you'll see Nebuchadnezzar, even with Daniel, I think Nebuchadnezzar finally got it after he woke up from his seven-year itch. When he was out there grazing on the grass and all of that he finally realized, you know what? I'm a humble servant. I need to know that I was sent here to serve people. It took a while for him to get there because pride will place you in a place you don't want to be. Amen? So we see this, and he says, servants of the Most High Elohim, come out, come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Are the satraps, the perfects, the governors, the kings, the counselors gathered together, and they saw that the fire. Now remember, we talked about something about their garments earlier. Okay? It said that they saw that the fire had not had any power. Do you know the enemy? Their fire does not have power over us, has no power over us. Even though it may singe us, it still has no power over us. But he's showing that fire has no power over the bodies of those men. The hair on their head was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. No smell of fire came upon them. Guys, this is beyond miracle awesome. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the Elohim. Now he's blessing the Father. He's sitting here just before this. Who is this? Who is this Elohim? Now he's blessing the Elohim. This king is now blessing because he's realizing, don't have a full revelation, but he understands that there's a more power. And whoever the Elohim of these three young men are, blessed be he who sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him. And set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own Elohim. Verse 29, look what he did. Made enough impact that he said this, Therefore I'll make a decree. Any people, nation, and language that speaks anything against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses be laid in ruins. There is no other Elohim who is able to rescue this way. A lot of times, we may go through the fire. We may go through something that our bosses, our supervisors, or whoever's in, somebody's in authority over somewhere. But maybe we have to go through that so that they can see. We have to be that light so that they can see that there's an Elohim in Israel. We are servants. We may not choose to go through these things. We don't want to go through these things because it's just like the song that you wrote. A lot of times we're looking at us. It's all about us. We don't take time to look at what's going on to our neighbor beside us. We don't look to see who else is hurting. But do you know that the nation of Israel, because of the decision of these three, do you know the nation of Israel that was brought into captivity was allowed to worship their Elohim in captivity? This set it up. This set up to where they were free in dispersion to be able to serve their king the way that they needed to serve their king. Because guess what? This king wasn't going to get in front of this king. And that's what this is showing here. This is how powerful this is. Verse 30 says this, then the king promoted. Well, there comes a promotion. Sometimes when we go through the fire, we get a promotion. Promoted these three boys in the province of Babylon. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. I may still not get to Revelation. But you got to understand that in the end times, there's going to be opportunities. There's opportunities today for us to go through the fire. There's opportunities in our jobs, in our life, in everything, all the decisions that we've made. Some fires, no doubt, are bigger than others. Some are really huge in our life. Some, because of fear, we end up allowing it to be too big. You know, fear can take something small and it can be a forest fire in front of us, or it can be a mountain in front of us, when really and truly, it's really not that much to it. I guess it's like this. I can easily believe for healing for you. It's maybe a little bit harder for myself. It's one of these deals. But the thing is we have to realize that, you know what? The Father loves me as much as He loves anybody else. And we have to understand that we're in covenant with Him. And we have rights as covenant children as long as we're doing what He says to do in this book. Amen? This was part of our Torah portion this week. Jeremiah 32:36. This is Jeremiah speaking. Now therefore, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, the Elohim of Israel, concerning the city of which you say, it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. This is something that he prophesied. And what I just read you, these three boys now walk through it. Now I'm going back before. Because remember, I made a statement. And my statement was this. Is these boys, whenever they went into captivity, they could have thought, Yahweh's done with us. He's mad at us. He's definitely mad. We're going to read it here. His wrath, our sin, placed us into captivity to be judged eternally. In other words, we have no hope here because now we're under the dominion of another king and their gods. Okay? Remember I said that's what they could be thinking. But these boys, for them to stand up and make a statement, they must have remembered something. There was some hope or something mentioned beforehand for them to hold on to, and this is what it was. This is what was prophesied to them. This is what's going to happen, but I'm going to give you hope in it. Shavuot is a feast of hope, I'm telling you. Verse 37, behold, after he said, I'm going to send you to Babylon by sword, by famine, and pestilence, he says, behold, I will gather them from all of the countries which I drove them in my anger, in my wrath, and in great indignation. And I will bring them back to this place, and I will make them dwell in safety. Now see, he's telling them, I'm going to send you, but I will bring you back. So you know that this is ringing in their ears. We're here. I don't know how long we're here, but we're here. But if we can stay, the Father will. He's going to bring us back. And it says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And I will give them one heart in one way, that they may fear me forever for their own good and for the good of their children after them. And I will make them an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put fear of me into their hearts, and that they may not turn from me. And I will rejoice in doing them good, And I will plant them in the land of fruitfulness with all of my heart and all of my soul. Verse 42. Thus saith Yahweh, just as I have brought all of this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring upon them all of the good that I have promised them. You can see that even though they went into captivity, there's hope. When you read in the book of Revelation about the Antichrist, the Antimessiah, the false prophet and the beast, even though you know that there's going to be great destruction and great famine and pestilence and sword, we still have hope. For those who adhere to the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yeshua. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we're going to hit a couple of things in Revelation. What I wanted to do was is use this story of these Hebrew young men to show you that they went into captivity, their mindset, because this is a real life situation. This is not a situation that's just a great story out of a book somewhere. This really happened to them, and they had to make a decision. But I want you to notice something here. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 says this, starting verse 12, I think. Yes. What I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. Now, this is Paul. What he's saying here is this. There's a group of people that's out there. I'm saying that I am apostle of the Messiah, and they are claiming that they are the apostles of Messiah. But yet, our gospels are not matching. Our word, and that's what he's saying here. He's saying that some of these people are boasting in the mission that they work on the same terms as we do. But this is what he says. He says, for such men are what? False apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Messiah. Now think about this. We're talking about Paul is out here ministering to people, and these other people, great intentions, are ministering the same thing. And then all of a sudden, who do you believe? Look at what's going on in our church world today. Who do you believe? They look at us and they would turn around and say, what makes you right?
I just, while you're back there talking about this whole example of the fiery furnace being prophetic, it's just like in my mind, it just kept going over, you know, where have I heard that before? And it's Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day is coming and shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that they will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Amen. You shall go out leaping as calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Who is it that's going to tread down the wicked, and who is this that's going to escape the fiery furnace? Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb and for all Israel.
Amen. Excellent word. Excellent word. That's what this is about. If we don't have the commandments of Moses, and if we don't have the testimony of Yeshua, you're not going to escape this fiery furnace. Because right here, I mean, Paul is saying right here in this scripture, you have people teaching Messiah, but he's saying that. These are false apostles. These are false doctrines that they're teaching. Verse 14, it says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as what? An angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, their end will correspond to their deeds. In other words, if you know the Torah, and if you know the Torah, which is the law and the Holy Spirit, do you know this right here? This is what sheds light, because this is the truth. This is the light. If you're doing what's in these pages, it is truth. If you're not, then it is not. It is a false light. And that's what he's saying here. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Okay, now let's go to Revelation 16. I want to say this while you're going to Revelation 16. Paul was addressing the Jewish people of that day who was saying you couldn't be saved unless there was status change. In other words, you had to be a Jew, you had to convert to Judaism. But today, it's replacement theology. In other words, we're not doing this thing anymore. That's why they give out, when they go to, they'll give you a New Testament. They won't give you the whole Testament because it's replacement. So today, this scripture fits us for those who have replacement theology. He's not dealing with these people. He's not dealing with the two-thirds of the scriptures anymore. He's only dealing with Matthew through Revelation. That's false apostles. Replacement theology is not where it's at, and that is the mainstream for everything. Whenever Yeshua was on this earth, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all the people asked him for something. What did they ask him for? A sign. Give us a sign. And he told them what? A perverse and adulterous generation seeks signs. But he did give them one about Jonah. Okay? In other words, Jonah died and was laying at the bottom of the sea. And then he was scooped up and he was resurrected. That was the whole thing there. But he spoke something very important. And guys, understand this. For me and you, a perverse and adulterated society seeks a sign. Because you know what? The Father's already given us the sign. And we quote it every week. Shabbat, His feast and festivals, are the signs. It says these are the signs. When you're in here and you're worshiping, you're honoring the Sabbath, that's the sign. That's the ring. That's the wedding ring. That's how you know you're married. He doesn't have to go and do something. He doesn't have to bring something down out of the sky. He doesn't have to create something that you've never seen before. If you can't believe now, you're not going to believe then. Okay, so here's the deal. Revelation 16:12, it says, the sixth angel poured out the bowl on the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophets, what are these? Three unclean spirits like frogs. These are unclean, demonic spirits. Verse 14. For they are demonic spirits. And what are they doing? Performing signs. Who go abroad to the kings of the whole world. What they're doing is they're not worried about me and you. They're performing signs to the kings, the people who have authorities. The rulers, the dictators, the presidents, those who have authorities, the United Nations, the people, that's where they do these signs. That's right. They bring them together because if they can bring them together, they change the laws in a nation to where they can say Congress can come up. Congress can do this. Congress can come and they can nullify the Constitution of the United States. They can do that. And if they do that, then they can say, you don't have the freedom of worship. They can do that. I thought we almost had somebody who did that in office. When they started aligning themselves with Islam and everything, when it started with the Muslim Brotherhood and it started with all of that stuff in Egypt at the very first day that he got in office. And they started painting that picture. So don't think that it can't happen. I think the reason why that happened to us is to flat wake us up. That was your message. We better stay awake. We better get awake. We got a taste of what was coming. We got a taste of what is coming. Not was, it is coming. We got a taste because for the first time, I saw our nation not friendly with Israel. Didn't care about them. Double-crossed them every time they turned around. That's right. It's a Haman. It's a Haman. And don't you know that the Father, He is so merciful that He gives you a glimpse into the future. He gives us a glimpse before He brings things down. We better pay attention and we better not fall asleep. what's going to happen is these three who are demonic spirits are going to be performing signs. And they're going to change the hearts of these kings of the, did he like say whole world? He didn't say just the kings of the Middle East. He said the kings of the whole world to assemble them for the battle of the great day of Yahweh or Elohim the Almighty. Verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake. What does he say next? Keeping his garments on. Keeping his garments on. Y'all go to 19, Revelation 19:8. While you're going to Revelation 19:8, this is why it's important. They threw these Hebrew children fully clothed with their garment in that fire. It shows that we are to be fully clothed with righteousness, and the Father clothes us. That was, I think it was a portent. To me, I was thinking, why did you put it in the scripture? Why did you name the garments? Why did you name the cloak, the tunic, the hat? Why did you name all of this? This is priestly type garments is what he's naming. And they went into the fire. You have to go into the situations fully clothed. If you're not fully clothed with his word, guess what? You're going to get burned up. And so what does it say in 19:8? It says, it is granted for her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is what? The righteous deeds of the saints. Obedience to this word is our clothing. Obedience to this word is our cloak. It is our tunic. It is our head covering. It covers us in righteousness is what it does. And if you don't have this covering, you're naked. You have a fig leaf. You can run around with a fig leaf, or you run around with artificial clothing, thinking that you're okay. When does the mark of the beast start? It's already started. It's already started. He is busy marking his people now. But Yahweh is busy marking his people now. Amen? And when you have the, this is what these feasts are about. This is what it shows. All of these feasts show about his coming and what he's doing with us to get us from Passover, to get us over to the last great day, to get us in his kingdom at the wedding feast. But this right here, grace gets you in the house. Obedience keeps you in the house. Amen? And this is why this is feast is so important, is because it teaches us if we're going to be a family of Elohim, if we're going to be a family, it's his house. And we're going to play by his rules. And if we will do that, he's given us his Torah, his truth. He's given us his Holy Spirit to teach us that we're going to be a people collectively to move as a nation to get us here. That's why this is so important. So we do have the clothing. Let's go back to Revelation. Well, hold on just a minute. You're in 19? Just stay in 19. Because I'm going to finish out verse 15 in Revelation 16, but you stay right there in 19. Because he said, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is one who stays awake and keeps his garments on, that he may not go out naked and then be exposed. Just what I had said. Okay, Revelation 19:19. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I'm fixing to read something in 20. It's just going to just knock your socks off. I cannot believe and imagine. When I tell you, who is the easiest person to deceive? Ourselves. I can deceive myself fairly easy. Because I want to do what I want to do, and when I want to buy something that I want to buy, I can come up with all kind of creative ways to make it happen. But my wife can come up, and she can want to buy something, and if I don't think it's, I can really say, you know what, this ain't happening. But yet, whenever I want to buy something, it's really, and she sees me worming, and she sees me starting auction off. Then she says, you know what? You can auction all you want to. It ain't happening. Because that's your flesh. No, and that's what a helpmate's about, because she understands when we get in that position. So what I'm saying is deception is all around. And a lot of times we walk in deception and we don't know it. Because guess what? If we were deceived, we would recognize it and we would move away from it. I'm just saying. Verse 19, it says, "And I saw a beast and the king of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on a horse and against his army." Verse 20, "And the beast was captured," hallelujah, "with the false prophet who is in the presence, had done those signs by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast." People, if you follow signs, it will lead you into deception. If you're following signs, that's what the mark of the beast, that's how these evil spirits work. They're performing stuff out there to deceive. And they receive the mark of the beast and those who worship the image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burned with sulfur. All right, let's go to Revelation 20. All right, now you see that there's two that's thrown in there. There's the beast and the false prophet. They're in the lake of fire. They're done. Now, Satan himself is in prison. Revelation 20, verse 7. It says, "Now when the 1,000 years ended." Do y'all know what the 1,000 years is? The millennium. It's the millennium. The 1,000 years is a place that's going to be awesome. Yeshua's on the throne. He's ruling and reigning. It's going to be awesome. For 1,000 years, there's ruling and reigning. There's no pornography. There's no killing. There's no raping and pillaging. And all of this stuff evidently is not going on. He's ruling and reigning. Right now, we have about 10% righteousness and 90% garbage. At least in this time, it should be at least 90% righteousness and maybe 10% if there is a 10%. And the reason why I've said I don't know is because what happens at the end here. I could not fathom this. I still can't. It's hard for this to go in my mind. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan, Hasatan, will be released from his prison. And he will come out to do what?" Boy, this word deceive is all over the place. He only has one bag of tricks. And how do we keep falling for the one bag of tricks over and over and over again? Because you know what? It's a new generation. It's a new people. And do you know the people that's born in the millennial kingdom? They got to make that decision. They got to make the same decision that we've had to make. Just because they're born in the millennial kingdom don't make them shine. You know what I mean? There still has to be a decision, or he would not have released Satan out of this prison to go back into this world at the very end time before he cast him away. But it says that he came out to deceive the nations that are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Now, how many people did he deceive? Their number is like the sand of the sea. Can you imagine going through? I can't imagine it. Arnold, I can't imagine it. This blows my mind. How you can go through the millennial kingdom and having Yeshua ruling and reigning. Does it show you about the heart of man? It shows you about how strong the flesh is. Even with Yeshua on the throne, those, when Satan is released, he's going to give them opportunities. He is going to appeal to their flesh. And that war of that spirit and flesh is going to rage just like it does in us today. They're going to have that opportunity to watch it rage in them. Because it says as many as the sand of the sea. And usually when he uses that term, it means there's a lot of people. He didn't say a few cucumbers or one garden. He said, there is a lot. I can't fathom that in my mind. Because, see, I'm sitting here, and every one of us in here will make this confession. If you don't, I applaud you for your honesty. If you don't make this confession. But if you would sit here and say, if Yeshua was on the throne today, I would follow him 110%. Not until we can get, not until this wedding day, until all of the spirits, the demonic spirits, if there's one demonic spirit left, the ability to be able to fall is still there. Until this flesh is totally burned up and we get our new garments, until Satan himself is in that lake of fire, you can't boast anything. Because now I'm sitting here saying, because I know what I would have said before, if Yeshua was being here, everything would be all right. If Yeshua was here and he was doing all, if he was our Torah teacher, it would be awesome. And guys, it would be beyond awesome. But would I walk out those doors whenever Satan is still out there working and I'm not in his presence, will I make all right decisions? I will make all right decisions as long as I'm standing right beside him. Why? Because he sees what's going on. But do you know he still sees what's going on? I think that's one thing we don't realize. He still sees what's going on. But sometimes we bury ourselves and we make decisions we know that's not right because we really don't believe that he sees everything. But guys, he sees everything. Repent, and his blood will blot it out to where Yahweh doesn't see it. I just thought that this is how strong deception is. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I understand how hard it would be for us if all of this system just come, the false prophet, the beast, the Messiah, all of them come down on us now. I can understand that deception. I can't understand it with Yeshua on the throne. I can't understand it after they went through 1,000 years with Yeshua in Jerusalem, ruling and reigning, and the temple set back up, and probably the sacrifices is going, the free will offerings, and all of these things are happening. And then to see this happen, I just want to put it in your mind to know we need to stay awake and we need to be on guard. And don't rest thinking that you could ride in on somebody else's coattails. That was one thing I appreciated about Tammy's daddy. He made me study. He made me look up the word. He made me do it because he said, you're not riding on my coattails. Because one day I'm going to lay these coattails down and you got to be able to stand on your own. You got to know how to study. You got to know how to search the word. You got to know the false prophets. You got to know, because it says these people, that's what Paul was saying. As soon as I leave, I read it about Moses. Moses said it. Whenever he said, as soon as I leave, you old stiff-necked, hard-headed people, you're going to rise up and obey. You're going to disobey. Same thing that Paul said. I've been here with you guys. And you know what? We've had revival. But as soon as I leave, somebody's going to rise up in your midst and they're going to turn you away from the very gospel that we preached. That's exactly as what happened. And it's happened today. You know what? Since the time of the first apostles, Yeshua passing, resurrected, the apostles passing, it wasn't even a century. And you started seeing people fall away to where we've fallen so far. He is gathering us. Just like what he said he did that. That's just why it's prophetic. He is gathering us and we're learning because I am understanding, you know what? There's a price to pay to stay in the house, and it's obedience. That's right. Peter fell within days, didn't he? So I'm just saying, I just want to put it in our mind to know that even in the millennial kingdom, when people are born there, they fell away. I can't understand that. It was eye-opening to me to know that if that be the case, the deception is great. 9 and 10, and I finish with these two verses. And they marched up. Now, he deceived them, and they followed right along with him. There were kings and governors set up over these nations. And he deceived them, and they fell in line. Because he talked about the four corners of the earth. And it says, and they marched up over a broad plain of the earth, and they surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And when they did that, then fire came down from heaven and consumed them all. And it said, then the devil, Hasatan, who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, sulfur, where the beast and the prophets were. And they were tormented day and night forever and ever. At the end of the story, we understand that there's salvation and there's eternity. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is if you're wandering around out here on the outside of the house, you're liable to get burnt. We need to stay in the house. We need to stay in his house. And guess what? Obedience keeps us in the house. Amen. Shavuot, we're going to be having, we'll have our Shabbat here. Deanna Dye is going to be here. We have Saturday and then Sunday. The thing about it is, guys, is these feasts are so important to us in everything that we do. And the Father just led me to go through this little thing here. I didn't know how, because this other stuff got added just this week. Just these stories. He just said, boom, here it is. And it just fits so perfect to know that what has happened will happen again. And we need to know that. Do you know that's why we need one another? We need one another because, hey, you get a little weak, you got to be accountable. We have to be accountable. Because if you don't, you start sliding. It takes somebody to tell you. The person who loves you is going to be the one who tells you the hard stuff. You know, it's not to be ugly. It's not to be because you don't like you or whatever. But somebody that's saying, hey, do you know, and let me just finish with this little story here. Alabama, Gilbertown, Alabama. Did y'all anybody read that in the news? Coral snake. Coral snake looks closely to a what kind of snake? King snake. Here's this guy, probably ain't never, I've seen one coral snake where I live in this area in my life. I'm 59 years old. Coral snakes are something that you don't see much. He thought it was a king snake. He picked it up. He was going to give it to his brother because his brother liked snakes. But he picked that thing up and that thing bit him. And the thing about it is a coral snake doesn't necessarily sting. And the thing about it is when it works on your neurological system. It works on your neuro system. It does. It starts shutting things down. Right now, he's on a ventilator. And all his organs are shutting down. And they're trying to keep him alive. They think that even if he makes it, he's going to have to learn how to eat again. He's going to have to learn how to talk again. He's going to have to learn how to walk again. And the thing about it is deception. Colors. It'll say red on yellow will kill a fella. And that's how you know that whenever that red and that yellow, these touch, that is a coral snake. A king snake, the red and the yellow will never touch. It's always got a black band in between it. But here's what I'm saying is something so subtle. How the Father created something so dangerous that looks like something is so harmless. So what are we saying? This gospel preached another way can look the same, but the colors are not arranged in the right order. And it'll kill you. You better know the truth. You better know red on yellow will kill a fella. You better know it spiritually. Because if you don't, it'll eat you alive.
There we go. So I want to tie something in real quick. So when you're talking about your robes being clean, or making sure that your robes are on, as some translations say it, my wife brought this attention to my attention. I definitely did not get this myself. And of course, God gave it to her. But a lot of places, especially in Revelations, where it says robes or clothing, and even some Bible translations will say this, it actually says commands. So keeping his commands is our clothing. And you can take that all the way back to Adam, where when he failed to keep God's commands, then he realized he was unclothed. So I just wanted to tie that in as, you know, that's how we keep from being naked and shamed, is by keeping his commands.
Amen. Let's pray.
Redeemer of Zion, the glory.